You know, Christmas week is one of my favorite weeks of the year. I love getting ready for Christmas, and finally in Christmas week comes along, you get to sit back a little bit and enjoy things and look around yourself and enjoy all of the decorations that you put up for Christmas. New Year's week is one of the weeks that I really don't like, that week between Christmas and New Year's, because that's when you have to start taking it all down again and putting it away and knowing I'm not going to see any of these things again until next year. I have so enjoyed them this year, but now it's time to put them away. And that's what we'll be doing at our house, and I suspect that may be what you'll be doing at your house as well. You know, one of the things we do at our house is, as we've been able to travel various places and do different things, we try to collect nativity sets from the places we've been. And every year we pick out some of those and we put them out around the house, and those are the ones we enjoy. And this year we've had nativity out from Bethlehem. We've got one out from Nazareth. We've got one out from Peru. We've got one out from Spain. We've got one that we even were able to purchase at the Vatican. Can I tell you my Vatican story real quickly? So Judith and I had this opportunity to go to Italy a few years ago, and as a part of that, we toured the Vatican, and on the way out, we stopped at the gift shop, and we were looking for that perfect nativity that we would enjoy, and we found the one we wanted. It's the right size, it would fit in our suitcase, and it was going to be just exactly right, and I carried it to the front, and the young lady that was checking us out said, "Oh, you've made a wonderful selection. This piece was actually blessed by the Pope himself." I thought, well, that's pretty impressive. And I bought it, and I went outside, and my guide was standing out there, and she said, "So did you find what you wanted?" And I said, "We did. In fact, we found exactly the one we wanted." And the lady at the register even told us that this was blessed by the Pope. And she started laughing. And she said, "Oh yeah, every day on his way to the office, he goes by and says, 'Bless everything in the gift shop.'" So, but it's kind of sad, isn't it, that on that day after Christmas, you begin to take all of your nativities and all of your, whether you've got one set or a number of sets, but you put them all away and you think that's it for the rest of the year. Unfortunately, there are way too many people who also will put Jesus away with their nativity set. And they will say, "Okay, this year I came to church. I went twice and I was there for the communion service and it was a wonderful thing and I'm glad I did it and it made me feel really good. But now I'm just going to move on and in the next year I really won't be thinking about Jesus again until Christmas rolls around another time. Unless maybe I go to church on Easter Sunday." We need to remind ourselves that we have not reached the end of the journey, but just the beginning. Through this year's Christmas season, I've been inviting you to join me in thinking about the questions of Christmas through that song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" And I've asked the question, "Do you see what I see when you look into the eyes of those who were there on the first Christmas time? Do you hear what I hear? That God has kept his promise to the Virgin Mary and her carpenter husband and the world all around us. Do you know what I know? That God has given us the perfect gift." And this morning on the Sunday between Christmas and a brand new year, I want to remind you of my favorite verse, the final verse of that song. Said the King to the people everywhere, "Listen to what I say. The child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light." Listen to what I say. The last verse is not a question. It's a statement. It's a testimony. It is saying, listen to what I have to tell you, because the news I have to bring to you is the most important news of all. And as we enter into a new year, and I want us to remember the things that matter. So that's why I want to challenge you this morning to listen to what I say. Not because I'm a king or anybody important, but because the message is world-changing. It's the reason we celebrate the birth of Christ and remember this is where it all begins. So let me take a few moments on this last Sunday of the year as we anticipate a year yet to come, to remind you of the most important things, the things that John bore testimony to. And the first thing I would say is this: listen to what I say. God came. God came. John 1:14 declares, "The Word became flesh." The Word, Christ, the only begotten Son of God. When the Bible describes Jesus as the Word, it reminds us that Jesus was so much more than a baby in a manger. That's why you can't put him away after Christmas is over and think, that's all I need, at least not for a little while. Because the Word became flesh. The Word referred to the eternal Christ who made heaven and earth. That's why John's gospel doesn't mention mangers or shepherds or magi or angel choirs. In fact, when you read the gospel of John, your first temptation is to say, well, there's not even a Christmas account in John. Yes, there is. And it's one of the most amazing statements of all. Listen to what he says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Do you hear what the Bible is saying? It is saying before the creation of the world. No, before the creation of the universe, there was the Word, the only begotten Son of God, the living Word that was pre-existent. Before anything else was, he was there. Not only that, but the Bible tells us everything that exists in all of creation is covered with his fingerprints. Where can you see the touch of God in this world? Everywhere. Everybody, everything, if you can touch it, he made it. Listen to how Colossians describes him. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now that last statement is a phenomenal statement. When it says, in him all things consist, what it's saying is, and in him everything holds together. In him everything finds existence. In him everything finds its purpose and its meaning. In him. What does the Bible mean when it declares the Word became flesh? It means God came. When we look at that baby in the manger, God came. When we see the life of Jesus, God came. When we read the testimonies of his miracles, read in the Bible about his teachings, you need to understand God is the source. And he is God. Not some of him came, all of him came. Not part of the way, but all of the way. He came to dwell among us. And this morning, we celebrate that the story of Christmas didn't end this past Thursday when we celebrated the birth of Christ. When we looked anew at our mangers and recognized all of those familiar figures that were a part of the story of the coming of Jesus. We don't put those away and forget about it. We remember this. God came, and he came to be with us. Listen to what I say. The Creator himself entered a sinful, dying world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to bring light into the midst of our darkness. John says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, did not overcome it, could not stand in the face of it. That's one of the celebrations of Christmas, is that God came, and he came to bring light into the midst of the deepest, darkest place that you could possibly imagine, infected by sin, doomed and lost, unless God did something. And so he did. He came to bring the light. You know, Genesis tells us that God's first act in creation was to declare, "Let there be light." That at the very beginning of everything, God brought light into the midst of darkness. And John reminds us that when God began the recreation, the reintroduction of salvation into the world, he did it by bringing the light. God sent him. He came. But listen to what I say. He came and he became. He became one of us. Almighty God, the Word, the one who is there before the beginning of anything, the pre-existent Christ, he came to be one of us. John says it this way, the Word became flesh. Flesh. We need to understand just what an incredible thing God did when the Word became flesh. You see, the Greek word for flesh is the word sarx. You know what the word sarx means? Meat. You're going to go home this afternoon. Maybe you're going to sit together with your family and you're going to enjoy roast beef, or you're going to enjoy ham or whatever's left from Christmas. You know what you're going to be consuming? Sarx. Meat. The most common word of all. When you talk about us, flesh and bone, blood that's flowing through us, you know what we are? We're sarx. Apart from him, that's all we are. We're just sarx. And the Word became sarx. Just as common as you are. Just as common as I am. What does that mean? That means when he came to be with us, he didn't come to be around us or close to us. He came to be with us. The eternal Word became Emmanuel, God with us. Now here's the thing. So he's altogether God, and he's altogether us. How can you be both God and man at the same time? Because that's the testimony of Scripture about Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, that he was both altogether God and altogether us. How can you do that? You know what? I can't explain it. You can't explain it. None of us can. You know why? Because that was a once for eternity event. Never happened before, never happened since, never going to happen again. When God himself came to be with us. Jesus is the one and only begotten Son of God and Son of Man. And he described himself in both of those terms. In Jesus, God completely closed the gap between who he is and who we are. John 1:11 says it this way. It says, he came unto his own. He came to us. These days we live in a remarkable age of instant communication. It amazes me that so many of those things that we used to dream would happen one day have already taken place. And one of those things is that those of you who have been separated from your families, and those of you who have been separated from friends, folks you wanted to reach out to on Christmas Day, you could reach them instantly. You could use a phone or a tablet and immediately speak face to face with the people you love. Some people would say this, and it's just like being there. Except it's not. The only thing that's just like being there is being there. Listen to what I say. The story of Christmas is the story of the Son of God coming here to live the way we live, to breathe the air that we breathe, to eat the food that we eat, to walk our ways, to share our sorrows, to bear our burdens, to forgive our sins. Unless he became flesh, he could not fulfill God's purpose. Unless Jesus became sarx, there were things he could not do. He could not save lost people. He could not offer his life as a ransom for many. He could not give himself on a cross. He could not do those things unless he came all the way. It was an act of grace and an act of love. He came and he became, and we are witnesses. John declared, "We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The coming of Christ was an eyewitness event. John didn't say, "Well, I heard about it," or "I know it happened to somebody," or "It was over there somewhere on the other side of the world." He said, "We are witnesses. We saw it." In 1 John, he said it this way, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." What was John saying? "I'm an eyewitness. I saw him, I walked with him, I touched him, I looked into his eyes, I heard his voice. I am an eyewitness." The miracle of Christmas is that Jesus came to reach all of us, but he also came for each of us. And every one of us are invited to be an eyewitness. Oh, you may not be able to look at him the way those who walked with him so long ago were able to look at him, or to hear his voice, or to touch him physically. But he is the very image of the invisible God, Colossians tells us. So what does that mean? What that means is that while they could see him physically, we're invited to know him spiritually in ways that nobody could before the coming of the Holy Spirit. Because with the coming of the Holy Spirit, it's no longer about whether you can see him with your physical eyes or hear him with your physical ears. Now it's all about responding to him in the depths of your soul. Not only that, but it's knowing, if I'll just respond, he will speak to me. We don't live at a time when God may speak through a single prophet and everybody else has to listen in. Now, every one of us individually, personally, are invited to know and respond to the Lord Jesus Christ as he speaks to you in the depths of your heart. And he speaks to you in such a clear way that you know it is him. I don't have to explain to you how that happens. You know why? Because if you've experienced it, then you know that's true. It is him speaking to me. Of all people, speaking to me. The real question is, what do I do when I hear him speak? Because every year people come to Christmas considering, what are they going to do with Jesus? And each of us has to make his own decision. The Bible says he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came into his own and his own did not receive him. And every year people come to Christmas and they hear the story. It's the same story they've heard before. It's the gospel that has been with us for 2,000 years. But in the end, they put everything away and they close the box. And they're through with Jesus for another year. They choose not to receive him. Some will ignore him. Some will neglect him. Some will just reject him altogether. But some will receive him. They will hear that voice, that presence in the depths of their spirit, and they will know, he's calling me. He's speaking to me. He came for me. And they will choose to receive him. And it makes all the difference. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We're at the end of a year. A near year beckons just ahead. Listen to what I say. Jesus came. He came to save. And if you don't know him, he came to save you. And all you have to do is receive what only he can give. I wonder if that's you this morning. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. You believe a lot of Christian things and you trust a lot of Christian truth and you don't argue with anything that happened during the Christmas season. But you've never received him in a very personal way. And if so, maybe today is that day for you. As you've been sitting listening to this message, as we sang our Christmas carols, as you were a part of this service, something stirred deep inside of you, and you know, I need to receive him. And I need to do it today. If that's you, in just a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and I'm going to be here at the front, and you just need to come and say to me, I want to receive Jesus. I want to receive Jesus before another year begins. And I'll be glad to introduce you to the Savior. Maybe God's calling you to be part of this fellowship. Maybe God's doing something completely different in your heart. And it's very individual, but you know it's his voice. And you need to respond. Maybe there's a call on your life. Maybe there's something he wants you to do. Is there a reason you need to come? We're going to stand and we're going to sing. As his Holy Spirit speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.